Hello, this is David Ramil, the host of Locked On Heat. Make sure to subscribe to the show wherever you listen to podcasts to get the latest episodes. Today's episode, obviously a little differently. I had been talking to a couple of other people, recording different shows, one that was going to be airing earlier this afternoon. It was around 3 o'clock when we were speaking, and then about half an hour later, we started getting reports that the Milwaukee Bucks, who were scheduled to play at 4 p.m. in Orlando within the Orlando bubble at Walt Disney World, had not appeared on the court. They were supposed to play against the Orlando Magic. Eventually, the Orlando Magic walked off the court. And as we started to hear more and more news, the Bucks had announced that they would be boycotting today's Game 5 in their playoff series against the Orlando Magic. The Magic agreed as well. Game scheduled for later on in the day. The Houston Rockets, Oklahoma City Thunder, the Los Angeles Lakers versus the Portland Trail Blazers. All those teams agreed to boycott the games that were scheduled to take place on Wednesday. Around 6 p.m., I want to say, the Milwaukee Bucks delivered a statement about the boycott. And that's the terminology that's been used, although it seems like it's more of a worker strike, and a good one. And of course, as I'll explain in the statement here, it becomes pretty apparent what they're protesting and why they have decided to strike and not continue playing games as of Wednesday. This is a quote from the Milwaukee Bucks in a statement that was presented by The Athletic's Shams Charania. "The past 4 months have shed a light on the ongoing racial injustices facing our African-American communities. Citizens around the country have used their voices and platforms to speak out against those wrongdoings. Over the last few days in our home state of Wisconsin, we've seen the horrendous video of Jacob Blake being shot in the back 7 times by a police officer in Kenosha, and the additional shooting of protesters. Despite the overwhelming plea for change, there has been no action, so our focus today cannot be on basketball. When we take the court and represent Milwaukee and Wisconsin, we are expected to play at a high level, give maximum effort, and hold each other accountable. We hold ourselves to that standard, and in this moment, we are demanding the same from our lawmakers and law enforcement. We are calling for justice for Jacob Blake and demand the officers be held accountable. For this to occur, it is imperative for the Wisconsin State Legislature to reconvene after months of inaction and take up meaningful measures to address issues of police accountability, brutality, and criminal justice reform. We encourage all citizens to educate themselves, take peaceful and responsible action, and remember to vote on November 3rd. That's the full statement by the Milwaukee Bucks. Over the last 2 days, since the footage of Jacob Blake's shooting became public, we'd heard from Milwaukee Bucks guard George Hill about being less focused, about not necessarily, well, questioning whether or not he could continue playing in the bubble, having his focus, as was indicated in the statement, elsewhere. That it's tough to focus on basketball. Something that I have mentioned prior to the bubble convening in mid-July or early July. It's, you know, as the weeks preceding the Orlando bubble took place, it was hard to focus on basketball because there was so much going on with the protests around the country and the need for social reform. And you kind of distance yourself from it as the games go on, which was something that I had warned about. I had spoken about it on this podcast, also on the Locked On NBA podcast. I thought that as players would immerse themselves in the bubble, they would focus a little less on appealing to people to initiate change, to do something different with their time, and that they had been actively involved in protests prior to going into the Orlando bubble. And in fact, that did happen to some degree. Now, that's not to say that while players were there, they weren't trying to more than regularly speak about important social issues. They absolutely did that, from taking a knee during the national anthem to mentioning how there needed to be justice for Breonna Taylor to several other things. During almost every press conference, at least on a daily basis, at least one member of a team spoke about the need for change. And I think that was important. But you also, that kind of gets obscured. Around the country, for those fans that are not paying attention to all those kinds of details, and I understand why, it's impossible to focus on it. This is my job. This is what I do. And I still can't keep track of everything that's going around the NBA. You're not going to watch a Zoom press conference at 2 o'clock in the afternoon with Jimmy Butler or Luka Doncic or some other player from around the NBA talking about the need for social reform. That's just not going to happen. And you kind of move on from reporting about it all the time because, to be honest with you, you're caught up in covering games and what's going on from within the Orlando bubble. And here we are a couple months later, and a tragedy happens. And make no mistake, it was a tragic situation, an unnecessary one. And players, understandably, wanted to bring some attention to it. So the Milwaukee Bucks were the first team to actively take a step in making this and furthering this conversation and having it become a little bit more publicized. We're not sure what's going to happen next. A lot of this has continued to progress over the course of the day. And again, I had a podcast in the can, as they say, with, you know, ready to go. It was going to be produced, cut, and published mid-Wednesday afternoon. But you find out what's going on within the Orlando bubble, and all of a sudden, it doesn't become as important to talk about what's going on with the Milwaukee Bucks. Now, there was a meeting that was reported by reporters in the bubble, including Sharania and others. The NBA Players Association, players that were there inside the Orlando bubble, coaches and assistant coaches were all invited to a meeting. Eventually, coaches and assistant coaches were asked to leave the meeting. That's much what we know. Sharania, as of 10:45 on Wednesday, was reporting that within the bubble, the Los Angeles Lakers, led by LeBron James, and the Los Angeles Clippers, the LA Clippers, excuse me, had voted to cancel the rest of the season. Again, using the term boycott is what the tweet from Charania was. Minutes later, a second tweet or a follow-up tweet showed that Miami's own Udonis Haslem questioned to the players in that room, and again, at 40, and being Udonis effing Haslem, he has the ear of everybody in that room. He said, without the Lakers and the Clippers moving forward, how could this season even think of moving forward? Something to that effect, and I'm paraphrasing. Eventually, LeBron James walked out. Now, these are tweets from Charania, who's getting the information from some player in that room. And it's easy to kind of read between the lines or paraphrase or misconstrue something that is a hastily sent out tweet. But it seems pretty likely that players are weighing whether or not any of these games should move forward. That perhaps, as successful as the experiment was in the Orlando bubble, that perhaps Kyrie Irving, Dwight Howard, and others might have been correct when they originally said that playing basketball would be a distraction from the issues that are much more important than basketball. I'll continue talking a little bit more about what we're finding out, the latest information regarding the potential end of the NBA season. You're listening to Locked On Heat. So today's episode obviously is going to be a little different. I don't want to include ads. In fact, I just realized as I'm recording this now, there's probably no need for an ad break because dropping ads about Postmates or Built Bar or RockAuto.com or any of our fantastic sponsors, and believe me, this isn't a knock on them, it just doesn't feel, it doesn't have the same kind of weight or importance to it. That's 100% honest. Nor can I deliver the same kind of taglines about following the show and making sure you listen to the next podcast, etc., knowing that there are so many greater issues outside of basketball taking place. So I didn't have any specific plans. I didn't have any format in mind regarding today's show. I just wanted to address it because I think you've all come to depend on me for some reason, something that I question and appreciate incredibly. But I thought it was important to at least mention it, address it, and talk about what we find out and what's going on. Andre Iguodala addressed Miami media at around 2:15 on Wednesday before the boycott. And he, as a member of the NBA Players Association spoke to representatives of the Toronto Raptors and Boston Celtics, who on Tuesday had indicated that they were considering a potential strike, that they would sit out an upcoming game for their upcoming semifinals matchup. And Iguodala did not hint at the possibility of players sitting out. He said he didn't know if they were going to sit out or not. He was a little evasive. And looking back now, and even at the time as he was speaking to media, I could kind of get a sense that he didn't want to say, oh yeah, these guys are talking about boycotting. He didn't go into that specifically. I think he was trying to be cautious and careful in which words he chose to describe his conversations with the Raptors and Celtics. And either way, he also mentioned that there was a growing concern among players to address these issues. I think the word he actually used was you become desensitized to watching videos like what happened with Blake, where a man was shot 7 times in the back by a police officer. And he said he could not get through the video he had not been able to watch because he was scared of being desensitized to it. And he spoke about the need to continue to push these issues to the forefront, to talk about them, to address them in some way. And we didn't get any kind of clarification. You know, a bunch of reporters on the call, and I didn't ask any questions again. It felt wrong to ask, oh, what do you think about your upcoming matchup with the Bucks, knowing, you know, that their minds are elsewhere and that there are so many larger things to focus about during the call. And so he addressed the need for a boycott, the potential of a boycott. He did not say any of the players in the Miami side wanted to boycott the upcoming games. And then the call ended, and an hour later we find out that the Milwaukee Bucks have taken a first step in the right direction. And I say that, and it is my opinion, but it is the right direction. As I've mentioned on many, many occasions, it's one thing to have the platform from within the NBA bubble to make people aware of these issues, but there's only so much you can do, because I think it's just normal. And I've spoken about this before. I remember talking to my Locked On NBA co-host Wes Goldberg about this, and you know, it's just a natural tendency. Like the act of actually going out every day to protest, or even every other day, or every few days, or once a week, it is difficult. It is difficult to find time to do those things that are a challenge. They're necessary, though. And despite how necessary they are, you're not going to get everybody out there all the time. You're not going to get as many people out there. And with NBA basketball having taken place over the last couple of months, and in between watching seeding games and playoff games and everything else that entails, I'll be 100% honest with you. My focus is elsewhere. And I can afford to be. And I say that from a position of privilege. And I've mentioned this before, and I've gotten criticism from it before, both on Twitter and even on goddamn iTunes reviews. Grow a pair, somebody said. I can't take this guy talking about this shit anymore. Well, I don't give a fuck. I'll be honest with you. I can speak about this from a position of privilege. I'm white. I'm Cuban. I live in Miami, where white and Cuban happens to be the majority. And I can get away with a lot that a black man can't throughout the rest of this country. So I can afford to forget about these things. One of the things that you've probably all seen is a passionate plea from Doc Rivers, the head coach of the Los Angeles Clippers, talking about, well, everything. That as a black man, it's frustrating to love a country that does not love him back. That as the son of a police officer, he still recognizes the need for reform. And he also has said, as many others have said over the past months, years, that I'll never know what it's like to have to explain to my son named Jacob, and talk to him at 14 and 15 and say, look, you're going to get a driver's license within a year. You have to be careful if you ever get pulled over, because if you display any kind of attitude, there's a good chance that you'll get shot. I probably never have to have that conversation. I can keep it very simple and say, be polite, don't make any rash movements, and you'll probably get in and out of it very quickly. That's not the reality for black men in this country. It's a different standard, a terrible one, that they have to live up to, and it's unfair. There is nothing right about that situation. They were brought here against their will. They were killed years and years ago. They continue to be killed by virtue of having a different shade of skin. I don't even know how to wrap my mind around it sometimes. It's just so difficult to talk about it. And I've welcomed the addition of sports as that distraction. And again, it's something I can't afford to do because I don't have to worry about the same issues. I don't have to. I'm very lucky in that sense. Even this, I'll be 100% honest. I debated whether or not I should talk about this because my voice, many people could rightfully say, look, you don't have the expertise to talk about this. You don't know what it's like to grow up with brown skin and have to deal with this. And they're absolutely right. They're absolutely right. I am white and Cuban in Miami. I am the majority here. I have a level of privilege and comfort that they'll never know. And that's a tragedy in and of itself. But I also understand that it was important to say something. And that's why I'm recording this show, because I wanted to be able to address what's going on and what's happening around the league and around the country. Teams have voted. Seems like everybody wanted to continue playing with the exception of the Lakers and Clippers. And there seems to be some dissension there as far as what to do next. My vote here, or my opinion, not my vote because I don't get one, is that the season has been canceled. Just a day or two ago, we were looking ahead to the Milwaukee Bucks. The two conversations I had on other podcasts that will probably never be published were about the upcoming matchup with the Milwaukee Bucks, and none of that seems to matter. And I get it. I can't. What can I say? What should I say? Should I just say, oh no, I want to hear basketball. I want to see basketball being played again. It's not my life on the line. It doesn't matter what I want. It doesn't matter what I think about basketball or whether or not it should be played. I know that it shouldn't. I know that there are things that these men have to deal with on a daily basis that I never will. And they get a right to choose. They have the opportunity to say, you know what? I'd rather live my life knowing that I'm doing the right thing and protesting at a point in time where people are paying attention to this. So it's just something that, again, I wanted to mention it. I'll wrap this up in the next segment. You're listening to Locked On Heat. It's been an odd show. I had no plan, no strategy, other than to continue to do what most of you are probably doing, seeing tweets come in from newsbreakers like Shams and Woj and report on the latest. Apparently there's some frustration that the Bucks may have blindsided the rest of the teams by walking out here. I think that's unfair. I think that shows a little dissension there. And I wonder if Charania is, I wonder if he's looking out for his own interest and, of course, reporting directly on behalf of the league, because that just, that the Bucks walked out without talking to the other 16 teams eight teams, I guess, at this point. I don't know how many teams are still there in the bubble. 16 teams at the start of the playoff, but of course, 3 or 4 teams have already been eliminated. However many teams that are there, that I don't think the Bucks were responsible for checking with everybody first. They made a decision. They sat it out. It was the first domino, and I think it was a necessary one. They could have just as easily have postponed that Game 5 against the Bucks and Magic and moved it to a different day. I don't like the reporting of infighting or dissension or that it's blindsiding on behalf of the Bucks. They made a decision. They had been dealing with this. And again, a team in Milwaukee so close to Kenosha, it's important for them to have taken a first step. So I applaud their choice. I think it was brave. And I want to say that publicly because you see too many people complain about it. Oh, players, overpriced, overpaid millionaire babies should shut up and do their job. And that is a absolutely fucking abhorrent point of view. And I apologize for cursing, but I think it's a point in time here where these are topics for adults, and this is language that adults use. So if it's offensive, my apologies, but I hope you understand the need to express some vulgarities during such a frustrating time. These are human beings. These are human beings regardless of the amount of money they have or don't have or anything like that. These are human beings. And there are players on that Milwaukee Bucks roster that have been victims of police brutality. And I think it's necessary for them to voice whatever opinion they have on the subject, because they have a right to as human beings. That they've been victims gives them even more expertise and right to speak on these things. And if they feel that it's necessary to take action, and if that action results in the end of the NBA season, so be it. I support it. I welcome it. And I hope that enough people will open their minds. It seems to be the ongoing response. Have empathy. How can you, and I think most people that follow the league are supportive of it. You'll see tweets, a lot of bots, and you've seen a lot of them over the last few hours. Oh, I'm done with the NBA. I will not support this. I've been a fan of X team since X year. I'm going to, and a season ticket holder since X. Those are ridiculous. A lot of them, obviously, if not all of them, completely fabricated. Do not buy into that. I think most, by and large, most people that support the NBA support this decision moving forward. We all want to see basketball again. As I've said many, many times, no one is more invested in this than a person like me who actually makes money and has a living reporting the lives of these men. I have an invested interest in seeing the season move forward and being able to cover it. And I cannot, nor do I, criticize this decision. It's a bold step, a brave one, and I did not see it coming. I did not see it coming. I'll be honest with you. I would not have moved forward with coverage of the Bucks, of the series against the Bucks, if I had thought that this was going to be the next step here. But enough is enough. While they've been in the bubble, we've seen more and more cases of police brutality. There's just too much. Something needs to happen. And it's not just from players, it's from all of us. I don't know if this is going to help anybody. I don't know if anybody's going to listen to this. It doesn't really matter ultimately. I'm going to try to do what I can as a father, as a human being. It's my job to set an example to the best way that I can. And if that means talking on this show for 20 something minutes and hopefully making a difference, then I'll continue to do that. I thank you all for your support, not just of this episode, but of every episode over the past few weeks. The numbers have been very good regarding listenership of Locked On Heat during the past few weeks. Obviously, I cannot tell you what's going to happen with the show. I know that you count on it being daily or at least semi-regularly, and it's not likely to happen because we'll just see more and more news. And again, the likelihood of the NBA season having ended tonight on a Wednesday is much more likely. And so I don't know what will happen with the show moving forward, but I'll urge all of you to do your share, to go out, be better people, talk to everybody, have empathy, understand the situation. Don't take news at its face value. Fantastic set of Instagram stories. I'm sorry, I'm old and I don't necessarily follow social media the way that I should, but I believe these were stories posted by Alexandria. I can't even remember her name right now. I'm fried. Ocasio-Cortez. And she was asked about her opinion on media. And it was a very thoughtful response, that the idea of journalism is an important one and that we should support journalism to the best of our ability. But that's not necessarily what journalism is in this current state of this country. It's a headline followed by a short excerpt of something taken out of context that is inflammatory, that draws clicks, that people share because it's inflammatory. And that is, that's the wrong way of going about it. Like, you could present the story about the NBA as, you know, Milwaukee Bucks boycott game. That doesn't say anything. That doesn't explain the days that go into this. It doesn't explain the thought process of the people that have been behind this movement. It doesn't explain what happens next. It doesn't say anything other than these players are again, boycotting, a term that probably should not be used, the NBA. And so it's a very interesting idea, and I think you should go and check it out however you can, because it does show a lot of information about how information is distorted and disseminated. And so I urge all of you to dig deeper. Don't just take news items at face value. Try and find out a little bit more from reputable sources. And don't just read headlines, because those can often be misconstruing. Aside from that, continue to do the best that you can on a daily basis. Go out and protest. Call your politicians, wherever they might be, at the local level. Call sheriff's departments. Call chiefs of police. Call everybody and demand justice in some way. Ask for change. Hold these people accountable. They are civil servants. They are employees elected by you or appointed by people that you have elected. And so they are your employees, in effect. They should be serving you and your needs as a society. And while those might be very far-ranging and difficult to narrow down to just one type of belief, I think there should be an overall feeling that, well, police and politicians should be trying to do the right thing for everybody, regardless of gender or creed or color or sexuality or any other defining trait. Everybody is open and deserving of fair treatment. And when it comes to November and making changes to the current politics in this country, you might not like the choices that are available, but there can be better ones that are made on behalf of everyone in this country. And I hope that you will all continue to make those changes. In any case, this is David Rommel. Thank you so much for listening. And please, I've said this many, many times, and I'll continue to say this, hopefully. If you ever feel the need to reach out, you can. You can always DM me. You can always email me at lockdownheat@gmail.com. My personal information is there too. I've posted my phone number on occasion to people who might need to text or call or anything else like that, because why not? Because we are here for each other. We should have empathy. And so if you don't like the way I'm saying this, if you don't agree with me, you're entitled to that opinion. I'd like to hear more about what you think should happen regarding the NBA and regarding this podcast and regarding my coverage of it. That's all I have for today. Thanks so much for listening. Stay safe out there. Please do the right thing. Thank you.